Will you please stand to worship God? We're here today because Winifred Green has died. We're here to remember her before God, to give thanks for her life. We're here to express our sorrow of the reality of death. We're here to comfort each other. We're here to listen to words that may be a comfort. Scripture says, "What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, God has prepared for those who love God." It's always a good sign when you run out of orders of service. It's always a good sign. We're going to sing our first hymn, which if it's going to be projected up there. And if you're going to use a hymn book, you'll find it underneath your chair. And if you are going to use a hymn book, you'll find that it's number 679. 679. "The Lord's My Shepherd" to Crimond. Please have a seat. Kingston United Reformed Church is a broad-based liberal church, and it's the last thing that we would want to be imposing our religion on you. That's not the way that we work. So we're going to offer some prayers. If you are a person who feels called and able to pray, then please pray. And if you're not, then I invite you to use this time to think and to reflect. But for those of you who would, Let us pray. Creator God, you have made all the rhythms and patterns of creation. You have given us birth, and you are there when death comes. You have made us mortal beings of frail flesh and gentle spirit, and you've given us a span of life, a time to be born and a time to die. And today, as we gather, we see the value of life. We are glad that our lives can be lived within the knowledge of your eternity. Loving God, comfort those who mourn. We come before you believing that you share our loss. You share our love of Winifred. Assure us of your love. Support us with your strength today and in the days to come. If ever sadness or regret overcome us, have mercy on us. Bring us your peace. As we gather here, we are aware that there are others who would want to be here but can't be. Comfort them. God of all creation, Jesus the risen one, Spirit bringing hope and new life, we give you praise and claim your comforting love this day and always. Amen. Let's join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. When we were putting together this service, we reflected on what a tremendous homemaker Winifred had been. And so this passage from Proverbs, the passage about the good wife, is highly appropriate. Obviously, it speaks of a different time, but the commitment to keeping your home, working outside your home, providing for your family, these messages which are in this text speak of a woman who lived her life for others. So let's hear the word of God as it will be read to us from Proverbs 31.
A reading from the 31st chapter in the book of Proverbs comes in the context of the advice given by the Queen Mother to a certain King Lemuel with regard to the responsibilities of high office and also the qualities of character of a young man taking such office. But the concentration of this particular part of the advice is on the capable wife. How hard it is to find a capable wife. She is worth far more than jewels. Her husband puts his confidence in her, and he will never be poor. As long as she lives, she does him good and never harm. She keeps herself busy making wool and linen cloth. She brings home food from out-of-the-way places, as merchant ships do. She gets up before daylight to prepare food for her family and to tell her servant women what to do. She looks at land and buys it, and with money she has earned, she plants a vineyard. She is a hard worker, strong and industrious. She knows the value of everything she makes and works late into the night. She spins her own thread and weaves her own cloth. She is generous to the poor and needy. She doesn't worry when it snows because her family has warm clothing. She makes bedspreads and wears clothes of fine purple linen. The husband is well known, one of the leading citizens. She makes cloth and belts and sells them to merchants. She is strong and respected and not afraid of the future. She speaks with a gentle wisdom. She is always busy and looks after her family's needs. Her children show their appreciation, and her husband praises her. He says, "Many women are good wives, but you are the best of them all." Charm is deceptive, and beauty disappears. But a woman who honors the Lord shall be praised. Give her credit for all she does. She deserves the respect of everyone.
The second reading that we're going to hear is from Romans, which speaks of a message of good news, which says that there's nothing that can separate us from God, however it might appear and however difficult and challenging life can be. And one of the reasons why we're having this reading is we had it at Peter's funeral as well.
A reading comes at the climax of a great chapter in one of the most important books in the New Testament. It's the climax to the biblical doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, that is, the perseverance of believers in the grace of God revealed to us in Jesus Christ. We read the final part of the chapter. In view of all this, what can we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? Certainly not God, who did not even keep back his own Son, but offered him up for us all. He gave us his Son. Will he not also freely give us all things? Who will accuse God's chosen people? God himself declares them not guilty. Who then will condemn them? Not Christ Jesus, who died, who rather was raised to life and is at the right hand of God, pleading with him for us. Who then can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble do it? Or hardship? Or persecution? Or hunger? Or poverty? Or danger? Or death? As the scripture says, "For your sake, we are in danger of death at all times. We are treated like sheep that are going to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we have complete victory through him who loved us. For I am certain that nothing can separate us from his love, neither death nor life, neither angels, nor other heavenly rulers or powers, neither the present nor the future, neither the world above nor the world below. There is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen.
Let's join to sing. The hymn you will find at number 104 if you look using the hymn book. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. And we're only singing 3 verses, 1, 4 and 5. Winifred Edith Sybil Green has died. Let us reflect together on her life. It has been long, and for the most part, it has been full and it has been happy. She lived most of her childhood in London, although there were family links to Scotland. She went to secondary school in Putney, did well, and just before she went off to university, she travelled with her aunt to Australia by boat, which was one of the last pleasure cruises before World War II. She went to King's College London to study zoology, and guess who she met there? Peter. They met during their matriculation year. When World War II broke out, the students from King's College were evacuated to Bristol University. But the accommodation was overcrowded, and alongside that, the bombing started of Bristol docks. So Granny insisted that Winifred transfer to Glasgow University, where, of course, there are no such things as docks. Or maybe there are, because they started to be bombed. So she finished her degree, and once she graduated, she moved back down south. She worked for the Ministry of Food, inspecting grain stores for mites and other insects. And she was able to drive her boss around. He gave her a few lessons, and then she was on her own. Peter and Winifred were married in Glasgow University Chapel on the 24th of August 1946. The ring Peter got while in Greece during his war service. One of Winifred's university friends was a bridesmaid, and that friendship lasted the whole of their lives. She trained to teach biology, and once she was married, she worked at Godolphin and Latimer School while Peter finished off his university at King's. The family moved to Birmingham, Edinburgh, and the US, picking up other family members along the way. The final one being an excuse to stop teaching. The family were in Boston between 1960 and 1966. During a time in the US, Winifred learned to bake her own bread. And while she'd made jam before, now she would make it in bulk enough to last for a whole year. She would delight in when she was invited to go to somebody's house, that she would take a loaf of bread as a gift. She never really settled in the US, but the move back to the UK was tough financially. But eventually, Peter got his promotion and the family moved to Kew Gardens, and Winifred started teaching again. Wherever they were, the family were a part of the church community. They were members of one of the churches that became part of this one, Grove Crescent Presbyterian Church. Peter was an elder, which is one of the leaders of our community. Peter was an elder, but Winifred worked out her church commitment in the kitchen. Chili con carne for 120. Once she retired, and once they joined this community, she got involved in the Women's Fellowship. She was part of those who organised the speakers, and she was in charge of the monthly devotionals, and she continued that till really very recently. She liked to help older members of the church. She liked to give people lifts. She liked to help them to come to worship or to church functions. She took her stint as one of the coffee servers in the foyer. She often would do coffee twice in a week. Winifred Green was basically a shy woman. She found social mingling difficult, but surrounded by her family, it was her great joy. She loved large family Christmases, whether in Linlithgow or in Kew. She loved visitors. She had an open house for her children's friends, especially during the time when they lived on the green at Kew. With Peter's retirement came other moves, eventually to another house in Kew so that he could keep on working, and then to Hampton to be under the eye of the Alden family. The last phase of her life has been a challenge. She has lived with her rheumatoid arthritis and with Peter's illness. She has known the death of someone who was her husband for 63 years. Not easy at all. But she has had things to celebrate. The gift of that long and happy marriage. She has been generously supported by her children and her grandchildren. And now, for her, the suffering of the last phase of her life is over. And even if you have no idea of life beyond this life, we can be certain that there is no more suffering. Like all of us, in terms of the Christian understanding of life beyond this life, Winifred goes to her rest dependent on the mercy of God. But she has been faithful, and she has worked out her faith in practical ways. So how will you remember her? Making jam? Having fun making cakes? Well, you remember mixing up her medicine, or feeding ducks, or walking to the church in kilts in Edinburgh, or going for walks in Kew Gardens, or taking her in her chair to the park? Or will you remember her wonderful pastry, or cycling to school, or talking to her about digital photography, or washing with a mangle, or good conversation, and her delight that you had come around? Will you remember the fact that she would cut off a loaf, both ends of a loaf, so that both her children could have the heel of a loaf? Or will you remember her watching her with delight when it became so apparent that she took a real delight in babies? It is a gift to be able to relive a life well lived. It is a privilege to have been cared for in practical ways. And there are some of us who assume that that is the experience of everybody, but we are wrong. The challenge as we reflect on Winifred's life is to know what from her life we need to take to ourselves and into our future, and what we need to leave behind. So let us be still, and then we will pray. God, you are the source of all life. You are mysterious and you are generous in love. We give you thanks because we have seen you in Winifred. We give you thanks for her life, for all that she was and all that she gave of herself to her family, to her friends, to the church in a variety of places, in her work, and in the silence, we give you thanks for our memories of her. Help us, O God, as we reflect on her life, to see it in all its eternal significance, and to grasp for ourselves the hope that we are more than our years, and that love is stronger than death. We pray for ourselves, for here we are, face to face with the greatest of mysteries. We pray that we will not be overwhelmed, that we may sorrow freely and then turn to life again with courage and with hope, that our lives may be refreshed because of our memories of Winifred, for the woman that she was, and for the Christian hope that she is and will be forever. And as we honour Winifred, we commit ourselves to care for each other, to bring hope to those whom we know who are sad, and joy to those who sorrow. So we ask, O God, that you'd help us to live as those who remember the past and those who have hope for the future. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just before we sing our final hymn, can I give you three notices? The first is, hopefully you've all got one of these cards. And if you haven't, there's more at the back. And look, there are pens, so you have no excuse. The family would really value this. They experienced that they found these really useful thinking after when Peter died. So please, if you can bear it, if you can't do anything else, just put your name on it. Next thing, as you go out, there's offering plates. And if you want to make a donation, the family have decided that the money will go towards the refurbishment of our kitchen in this building. So the plates are there if you would wish to. And the third thing is to say, please, if you have the time, stay and have a cup of tea and some refreshments. The family would really welcome the chance to have a moment with you. And if you don't know this building, you go out that door and you take a right and the hall is over there. Please stay if you can. But now let us finish our worship by joining to sing Love Divine, or Love's Excelling. joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of God's Spirit. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God, for now, forever. Amen.